A father and his young son went fishing, and after a couple hours, have you ever been fishing? It could be after a couple days. After a couple hours, the son kind of gets a little philosophical on his dad, and he starts asking questions. He said, "Dad, how's the boat float in the water?" Dad said, "I'm not quite sure." And then he said, "How do the fish breathe underwater?" His dad said, I'm not quite sure. And then he asked, "Why is the sky blue?" His dad said, "I'm not quite sure." After a while, the boy said to his dad, "Dad, I'm not bugging you by asking you these questions, am I?" His dad said, "Of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you won't learn anything." The book of Proverbs says, if you want to become wise, hang out with wise people. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to be known as wise people. And the best way for this to happen is to hang out with you and people who love you. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Use us to touch our world that we should love around us. You're the best thing that's ever happened in our lives. Thank you for all that you've done for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today, I've been preaching in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 2, 1 to 9. I said to Ernie this morning, he says, it's Malachi. I said, Malachi. He said, yes. He was the only Italian minor prophet in the Old Testament. Malachi 2, 1 to 9. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie has it up here. "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I'll send the curse on you, and I'll curse your blessings indeed. I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. I'll rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and I'll put you out of my presence. Know then that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was a covenant of life and well-being, which I gave him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth. No wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in integrity and uprightness and turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, and he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I make you despised and humbled before all the people, inasmuch as you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in your instruction." The past doesn't always indicate what's going to happen in the future. But usually, if you're looking for a different outcome, changes need to be embraced. Staying out after midnight every night and wondering why you're so tired and can't function at school or work. Using your Coca-Cola stash as a beverage, but also to clean the stains in your toilet bowl. If Coca-Cola can get rid of your toughest stains, what is it doing to the enamel of your teeth? We keep on spending more money than is coming in every month, and we wonder why things are so tight financially. Even spiritually, we can neglect the essential disciplines like reading the Bible, praying, gathering together regularly as a church, and then we wonder why we feel distant from God and other Christ followers. In many ways, this is what's happening to the nation of Judah. They're no longer interested or listening for the voice of God in their lives. In fact, they're doing the opposite of what it means to please the Lord. In some of my early jobs at Red Wing Shoes and then at McGavin's, I focused on the things that were important to my supervisors and things went well for me. Have you ever had a job or a class where you kept doing the opposite of what you were asked to do? How did that turn out? The people of God have been in exile for 70 years because of their wicked behavior. The Lord graciously brings them back home, where they've been now for the last 100 years. But little has changed in the people's attitudes. And so they're headed down the same old road that'll lead to their destruction. Matthew 7, 13, 14, it says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. God doesn't want anyone to perish. It says in John 10:10, "He came to give us life and all of its fullness." But if we willingly choose to separate ourselves from him, he will not force us. He will not force the people of Israel. Malachi 2:1-2. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I'll send a curse on you, and I'll curse your blessing. Indeed, I've already cursed them because they do not lay it to heart. What is going on here? Is this an episode of Harry Potter? No. What is happening here is that God has created our universe in such a way, if you follow his commands, how the Lord initially designed things to function, you could almost cannot help but experience a blessing. But if you choose the opposite, it's like rewarding yourself with the opposite of blessing, which would be a curse. So the priests, in so many ways, that are to help guide the people of Israel into staying close to God. But what happens if the priests are corrupt or can be bribed? Even in our court system, we hope justice will prevail. But it doesn't always play out this way because of a host of variables. The priests were allowing the people to bring sacrifices of the sick, the lame, and injured livestock as a sacrifice to the Lord when they should have been bringing their best. Malachi 2:3-4. "I'll rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung on your offerings, and I'll put out of my presence. Know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord of hosts." I wonder if this is where they came up with the phrase, "when the poop hits the fan." Moira wanted me to use a different word. There was a designated role the priest carried out in the worship of God in daily sacrifices. These religious leaders were coming into the presence of a holy God. What they wore in the temple area was a different set of clothes than what they wore outside of the temple. Growing up on the farm, we had inside clothes and outside clothes. The outside clothes often smelled like the animals that you were working with. The priests were to wear specific clothing and were to be purified. So picture this poop, not only on the priest's clothes, but on their faces. It would completely disqualify them from working in the temple. God is trying to send the Levites a message, a warning, so there's still time to change their course of action. Malachi 2:5. "My covenant with him was a covenant of life and well-being, which I gave him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name." The Levites were called to care for the objects of the temple and to lead the people in the worship of God, and while offering sacrifice for sin and thanksgiving. They didn't get an inheritance, the priests, of land like the other tribes, but lived off the tithe, or 10% of what the people gave back to God through the crops and animals. And these had served in their positions with complete reverence and honor for God in all they did. Malachi 2:6-7. "True instruction was in his mouth," the priest. "No wrong was found on his lips. He walked with integrity and uprightness and turned many from iniquity." Verse 7. "For the lips of the priest should guard knowledge, and the people should seek instruction from his mouth. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Should this not be the norm of those who are helping guide us in our spiritual journey? Men and women who are above reproach, who love everything about God and as a result love us. People whose example we could follow, would want to follow. Do you know anyone like this? Malachi 2, 8, 9. But you've turned aside from my way. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I make you despised and humbled before all the people, inasmuch as you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in your instruction. So instead of using their gifts for good, they're using them for evil. They're doing things their own way, to their own advantage, and as a result, many are stumbling who are trying to follow them. I love hearing stories and telling stories when people encounter the living Christ for the first time. I should say the first time they're aware of. And then watch them grow by leaps and bounds as they love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love their neighbor. But it can be equally destructive when we hear of Christian leaders who do things that are not only destructive to themselves, but those who have been impacted and influenced by their lives. Gene Edwards tried to make some sense of this insanity by writing a book called Letters to a Devastated Christian. People were perverting the protective and balanced system that God had put in place. But the priests who were to be the doorkeepers of such fraudulent behavior, instead they caved into the rich and the powerful. They showed partiality instead of being fair and unbiased. As a result, the Lord was going to allow the priests to be despised and humbled before the people. For 9 years, Peter Lawman worked on a loading dock with a bunch of other guys, and sometimes, and women, and there's sometimes there were quieter times, so they talk. So they talk about philosophy and worldview and faith. And Peter said, nobody thought like he did, and they thought his faith was kind of outside of reality or what works. Then one day, a guy named Phil kind of pulled Peter aside, and he said, Can I ask you something? Can you tell me a bit more about Jesus Christ? Peter thought he was teasing him. Phil wasn't. He had a cousin in Oakland that was in jail and was in trouble, and he thought Jesus might be able to help his cousin. So Peter talked to Phil, and Phil called his cousin in jail, and his cousin miraculously came to Christ. And it transformed his whole life so radically that he was contacting his family out of prison, and they were encountering Christ. And so at one point they said, can you tell us more, to the guy in jail? And he said, no, but Phil can, because he was the one who told me about Jesus. So they called Phil, and Phil says, I'm not a Christian. And they said, what? Within a couple weeks, Phil too became a Christian. It's amazing when Christ followers live out their imperfect lives with the people around them. The nation of Israel has instrumental people placed around them to help guide and instruct them on the most important things, their relationship with God and each other. But unfortunately, these religious leaders did not keep their eyes fixed on God and his ways. They were corrupt and led others to do the same. And so the whole thing was a complete mess. There are few things more frustrating in life than when those of position of influence don't use their position for justice, but rather to create space for injustice. When you were growing up, did you have any heroes? This is an easy answer for those of us who had older siblings. My older brother was 10 years older than I was one of my heroes. When he was in high school, he was in a curling bonspiel. For those who wonder what Canadians do with 6 months of winter, we play hockey and we curl. So I probably would have been about six at this time, and I just assumed my brother would be on TV for the Junior Men's Canadian National Championship. What I was to realize later on was not only was he not on TV, he was not playing a high level of curling. There was probably more drinking going on than there was curling at the high school event. With our imaginations, our heroes could do almost anything. But this same brother has been incredibly impactful in my spiritual journey with Christ. It started when I was 6 years old, and he asked if I'd ever given complete control of my life to Jesus. And throughout the decades of ups and downs in life, we've been able to talk about what God is doing in us, through us, and around us, and to remind each other to watch out for the Holy Spirit's initiative, and then being able to join in. I want to play the same kind of positive roles in others' lives, and so do you. Israel's priests became hindrances, blocked people from encountering the Lord of hosts. In verse 1 and 2 in the text, it points to the attitude of their hearts as to what failed them. It's repeated twice. Not lay it to heart. The priests did not set their hearts or did not position their hearts in such a way that they would please God with their actions and motives. When we're not allowing Jesus to be the compass of our lives that directs our movements, it's going to be impossible to please God. And if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, who is? And if we're not listening to the voice of Christ in our lives, where will we end up? And where will those who we're influencing end up? Let's pray. Jesus, we want to position our hearts in such a way that we please you in all we do and say and live. If there are things in our lives that aren't honoring to you, or things that we put up to block your presence, reveal it to us. Help free us of anything that would slow down your movement in our lives and in our world. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So this is a newer song for everybody. It's really easy to sing, so just jump in whenever you can.
I have a couple announcements. I'll do my benediction. We'll sing one more song, and then you're dismissed. A number of groups are running this week. I think everything is on the webpage. As well, youth is going to be Wednesday night. Rob Reamer says that although we live in a very strong, dominant physical world, there's a spiritual world that's all around us that's even more dynamic, although we cannot see it with a physical eye. He says each of us daily chooses to give access to which side we want to in the spiritual world. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that we're spiritual influencers. And the question is, where are we influencing others? Amen.